It's time for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.
Welcome to today's episode of the Coaching Perspective, and happy Valentine's Day to you. If you've forgotten, hey, stop on the way home, pick something up, or don't go home. Either way. Hey, if you're listening to the show live, then you're on octalkradio.net, Orange County's premier talk radio station. If you're listening to our podcast, then thank you for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com. While you're there, be sure to check out our archives for other great shows with some of our past guests. We know we've been coaching executives and business owners for 19 years under the banner of The Coaching Perspective. Helping to create more effective teams is our primary focus. We work with both existing and new management teams and project teams. And in all cases, our goal is to increase the productivity of the team and the individual members. We also offer individual coaching from the top executive to the newest entry-level position. Coaching for people who want to sharpen their business skills, communication workshops, DISC reports, and whatever else we can do to help you become more productive and reach a better balanced situation in both your personal and business life. Hey, before I forget, let me just tell you, you missed a great meeting last night, the International Federation of Coaches, Orange County chapter, had a great meeting, but it's never too late. Put it on your calendar for March 14th and join Leadership and Transition Coach Naheed Kazah, MBA, BCC, as she discusses how information overload can impact clients. She'll share some of the tools she uses to help her own clients overcome overwhelm, and she'll brainstorm with other coaches in a facilitated discussion about how to help clients stay focused, confident, and moving towards their unique goals and dreams. Naheed says, did you ever feel so overwhelmed by the information out there that it's difficult to make decisions and stay on one path? Well, your clients face the same challenge, and helping them sift through all their options, make decisions, and consistently take effective action is one of the big challenges of being a coach. You may find that every time you talk with your client, they're excited about a new and completely different idea, which keeps them spinning in an endless cycle of new initiatives accompanied by no action. So join Naheed. Naheed's a past president of the ICF Orange County chapter and does seminars and coaching, and I know for a fact that you are going to get a lot of great information from her. Okay, so what are we talking about today? Today we're going to talk about productivity tips for busy coaches and executives. So if you're not a busy coach and if you're not a busy executive, hey, you can just tune out. You don't need any of this. But then again, if that's your case, send me an email. I've never met one of you before who isn't busy, and I would like to do that. Well, what I'd like to do today is share with you some of my best time saver and productivity tips. I believe that using these daily tips can help you to be more productive, and they can also open the door for coaching some of your clients' key issues. So this is not just a discussion on technology, although we're going to talk about that, but it's an alternative way for you to open discussions with yourself or your clients on behaviors that are limiting productivity. You know, I want to talk about some apps, the computer, the tablets, the phones, but I want to just be clear, and let me start with this statement, that the best app you'll ever find will never come close to producing results as good as changes in your own personal behavior or your client's behavior. So what I'd kind of like to do today is sort of tie in the use of some of my favorite apps on the computer with some coaching tips about how to increase productivity. Let's start out with a personal example of a discussion that I had recently with my own coach. You know, it started simply enough with my sharing the latest app that I put on my phone and my iPad to help me make my daily phone calls. The app is called Call Please, and it's free in the Apple Store. What it does is it creates a list of phone calls that you need to make using your address book if you want to, so you don't have to go inputting all those numbers all over again. And once you've set it up, you can set priorities for the phone calls. You can set reminders. You can record notes after you've had the call or while you're making the call, and some other really cool features. Well, I was really excited about the first day that I used this, because in that first day, I ended up making 27 of the 28 calls that I had scheduled for that day. Now, understand that I have a problem with making phone calls, and my coach knows this, and we've discussed it many times over the years. And while it seems to get solved temporarily, the issue keeps coming back. So let me tell you how my coach used this discussion of my latest and greatest technical app to really coach me on an issue that had been creating a block. You know, when I told her about the success that I had with making all of those phone calls, she said, well, what was different this time about it? And as I thought about it, the answer seemed to me fairly obvious. I said, well, I had a good reason to call these people. I was calling most of them because I was actually doing them a favor by giving them critical information about a meeting location that had changed, and I didn't want them to go to the wrong physical location. So, you know, many of those 28 calls were just about, hey, don't go to this location. The meeting's changed. We need you to go to someplace else. So my coach says, well, okay, so that's what it was about. So how is this different, or how was it different than the way you usually feel when you have to make phone calls? And, you know, as I thought about that, I realized that normally when I have to make a phone call for almost any reason, and this would apply to personal calls as much as it would apply to business calls, is I feel like I'm interrupting people's busy day, whether I'm calling them during the work hours or calling them in the evening. And I guess that comes from the fact that when I was running a company, I just hated getting phone calls all day that kept me from doing what I saw as my work at my desk. You know, I may have had a little of that attitude that the world would be much better off if we just didn't have people in it. But my administrative assistant had strict orders to screen all of those calls that weren't totally essential. And if I did have to return a call to somebody, then it was her job to get that person on the phone so that I didn't have to dial the number and listen to the excuses about why they couldn't come to the phone or how busy they were or whatever else, all of which pretty much made me feel like I was being rejected. Well, after I explained this, my coach says, so what happened in this conversation? How was it different? You know, what was different about these conversations, I realized, was the shift from thinking that I was interrupting people to helping people. In other words, if I didn't make these calls and tell people that the meeting location had changed, then they might go to the wrong place. So I wasn't worried about interrupting them. That would be a lot less inconvenient for them than going to the wrong place for the meeting. You know, as we talked about this more and more, I began to realize that the bigger issue was really about the expectations that we set for ourselves and others. You know, and when it came down to making phone calls, my expectation was that I was interrupting people. I never really stopped to think about that, but that's what it was once the coach worked with me to realize this. And I really never checked in with the people to see if this expectation or this assumption was true or not. This was my unconscious expectation. To make that expectation conscious, I actually had to work through it with the coach, realize what it was, what was the behavior, what were the feelings that caused this, to name it, it was interruption, and in fact then verify that in fact this was a valid expectation or assumption for me to make. Once I became conscious of this expectation, then it sort of became my standard. My standard rule, whenever I called somebody, I was interrupting them. I realize this now. Well, the trick was to take it to the next level, go from the unconscious to the conscious, to actually taking it to the next level and share those expectations with others to verify, in fact, are they true, or negotiate how you can work around them And once you've done that, then in fact you have set boundaries. So you go from unconscious expectations to conscious expectations, which are really standards, to boundaries. And I realized that this was the roadblock that I have been dealing with for years in making phone calls, was this feeling that I was interrupting people, and therefore, whatever I was calling them about, it wasn't worth interrupting them. All of this coaching came out of a phone calling app. Well, it did. So, is this a great app? Yes, this is a great app. Did it cure my problem? Well, I don't know. We'll have to see. I think my coach may have helped me identify that problem and work on it. But hey, the app called Call Please is certainly a nice, convenient way of creating a list first thing in the morning or last thing the night before of all those calls you need to make the next day and just have them pop up sort of automatically on your phone. Well, the second productivity tool that I want to share with you is an app that many of you may already use. It's called Evernote. It's a note-taking program, and if you've researched on any of the app stores' note-taking programs, you know that there are a whole lot of note-taking programs out there. Well, what I like about this one is that it syncs between all my devices. You know, I'm sort of an Apple fanatic, so I've got the iPhone, and I've got the iPad, and I've got the iMac as my desktop computer. In fact, we've got two iPads. So it really connects everything, which is really nice because I don't have to remember where did I take those notes. Was it on my phone or was it on the iPad or was it while I was at my desk working on the desktop? One of the things I really like about it is it lets me immediately email with just the push of a button my notes from a meeting to the other participants as soon as the meeting's over. In fact, I've taken great pleasure in taking fairly good notes, and then before the people leave the room, sending them an email and watching them stop as they're walking out the door to read the email, only to see that it's the notes of the meeting with the action items and what they're supposed to do and when. Boy, talk about accountability. That really works well. The other thing I like is you can include photos so that you can, in Evernote, you can attach a photo to your notes. And I find that frequently what I do is I will be at a conference or a meeting and somebody will have a handout and I just take a picture of that handout and tag it into my notes. Now, this means I don't have to take that flyer or that handout home back to my office, which for me is very convenient because somehow all the material I pick up at networking meetings between the meeting, my car, and then back to my office, somehow it disappears, and I never know where it is. But this way, that flyer, which may be talking about the next month's meeting or who the speaker is going to be or the background on today's speaker or the seven tips that were being discussed, whatever it is, they're all attached to my own notes from the meeting. So I really like this program, but what I really wanted to talk about is note-taking in general and how that can increase your productivity. You know, I don't care whether you are in your prime or whether you are having a senior moment. None of our memories are really perfect. And the ability to take notes immediately while the action is going on, rather than trying to remember what happened later, really enhances your productivity in the sense of it makes an accurate record of what went on at the meeting. You'll find that you will have more information in notes that you're taking during or immediately after a meeting than you would in notes that you would try to do later that day or the next day. What I do is, you know, and let me just use an example, is coaching sessions. I think it's critical that you have notes for every single coaching session that you have, whether those are face-to-face meetings, whether they're group coaching sessions, or whether they're phone coaching sessions. And I have a standard form that I've developed, electronic, that I use to record notes from each client session, which then gets added to that client's directory. I usually have to allow time after each coaching session to kind of clean up my quick notes. and to add my impressions along with any action items or homework that's been agreed to. You know, I don't want to get bogged down in taking such detailed notes while I'm talking to a client that, in fact, I miss what they're talking about. And for a long time, I kind of fluctuated, well, is it even fair to be taking notes during a coaching session? Because the very act of writing something down and figuring out how to spell it sort of takes my mind away from being totally focused on what they're saying. The conclusion that I've come to is that it is distracting to take detailed notes while you're talking to a client, whether it's on the phone or whether it's face-to-face. It's distracting in that you can't be totally focused while you're writing on what they're saying. So what I do is I try to jot down memory joggers, words or phrases during the coaching session that when the session is over, I can then close out the coaching session and then sit down, look at those memory joggers, and write out more complete notes. Now, if I'm working out of my office and it's been a phone coaching session, then that's very easy for me to do. And I make sure that I do not schedule sessions back to back, because then I have no time to capture those notes and clean them up. And 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, a day later, those notes aren't going to be anywhere near as accurate as they would be if I did them right then at that time. If I'm out meeting with clients to do a coaching session, when the session's over, I'm back in the car, and before I drive to the next meeting, I'm typically pulling my notes together from that meeting. And when I say notes, I'm not talking about just recording what was said. I'm talking about writing down my impressions of what went on in the coaching session. Those things that weren't said, but those things that I picked up during the session, the impressions that I got from what was going on. I also want to be sure to make a note of any action items that the client either didn't follow up on from the last meeting, or action items of things they're going to do before the next coaching session. And speaking of the next coaching session, I make sure that in my schedule before I start a coaching session, that I have 15 minutes or so to review the notes from the last coaching session. The way I keep my notes is it's a continuous Word document that records for every single coaching session what the notes were, so that I can look at that document, which becomes multiple pages depending how long you're coaching the person. I can look at that document and I can go back to the beginning entry and see quickly, what is it we agreed we were coaching on? How are we going to measure the ROI at the end of this session? And what is the client's definition of success for our coaching engagement? And then I can scan through and see the highlights of what we've been talking about, and particularly focus on the last two or three sessions and what really was going on there. All of this to bring me to the coaching session fully present and in sync with where we left off the last time. And this is a huge advantage because, frankly, the client's probably going to not be as prepared about where we left off the last time, because they finish the session and then they go on to what they're doing. So this ability to review the notes and the discipline of recording the notes and my observations, I feel, has greatly added to the value that I bring to the coaching session. It's not just a matter of being available at the scheduled time, but it's a matter of showing up present, fully informed, and fully engrossed mentally in what I am doing with that client, not what I was doing with the last client that I talked to. So I think note-taking is very critical. I was kind of caught by surprise. I was talking earlier this week with my own coach, who has been my coach for a long time. In the middle of the conversation, she said, well, do you remember when we talked about, and she then quoted something, and I said, well, when did we talk about that? She says, let me look here, 1997. Boy, that is great. And what a great opportunity to bring that issue back and to really make it very clear that I really hadn't put that issue to bed. We were still dealing with it. Well, those are a couple of apps that I use. Those are a couple of coaching techniques that I use with them. Let me say that the best way that I have found to increase my own personal productivity is to be strategic about the time of day that I work on certain tasks. That's right, the time of day. I'm a morning person. That means that I like to get up at 5:30 in the morning, immediately walk into my home office, and start working. That's a good day for me. But what I found is that the best time of the day for me to work on things that require creative or strategic thinking is that morning time. And when I walk in first thing in the morning and fire the computer up, I really have to fight with myself not to get sucked into reading all of those emails. You know, it's interesting. I had a discussion with a client earlier today about email issues. And he was saying, you know, the amount of time that it takes him to do the emails. How do you handle all those emails? And I was sharing with him the fact that I've tried a number of things. And what at least works for me is first thing, I look at my emails, but I just scan those emails to see if there's anything that appears urgent, if there's anything from anybody that I'm going to meet or coach that day, saying can't have to cancel the meeting, change the meeting, whatever. If there's nothing that looks like it's immediately requires my attention, that's a new issue, then I put all of those emails aside and I read them later in the day. In fact, I set aside a couple of times during the day. One may be at lunchtime, one may be mid-afternoon or the end of the day, to sit and go through those sort of endless emails, some of which I can file in a subdirectory that just says I'm going to read these someday when I have nothing else to do. They're not critical now. And others which I can identify as spam or junk and I can get rid of them. And others that I have to respond to in some way, but they weren't urgent. They weren't calendar urgent at that time. You know, the problem is that endless pit of mostly non-important, but urgent, at least in someone's mind, tasks that lead us to browsing the internet and doing all sorts of things. So my afternoons are the best time for me to be social, and I try to schedule my coaching calls in the afternoon as much as I can. Because if left to myself in the afternoon, I usually drift off into some totally non-essential but fun task that I want to work on. So we have scientific evidence that talks about the term of biorhythms, whether you're looking at it over a month's period of time or you're looking at your daily biorhythms. But I'm sure if you think about it, you can identify when during the day are you the most alert? When are you the sharpest? Is it in the first thing in the morning? Are you a morning person like I am? Is it late at night that you're a night owl or whatever? And then think about what, if you look at the vast number of tasks that you have to work on during the day, what are the tasks that require the most focus and concentration? And schedule those tasks to take place during that time of day when you're the most alert. And move the other things to another time. Now, none of us are able to do that totally, okay? But it is something that you can do to some extent. While we're talking about scheduling things, I just want to share that I use two calendars. And the reason I use two calendars is one is your traditional calendar. It has my work stuff and it has my home stuff on it so that there's no overlapping of duplicate scheduling. And that's the typical calendar. But I also keep a calendar that is a two-week window of not only things I have to do, but it makes me aware of things I have to do to get ready. So in other words, the calendar, the typical monthly calendar, daily calendar that we all use is sort of due date centered. I have a lunch at noon today. I have a phone call at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Those are all sort of due date centered. But what's missing off the calendar is the time that you need to schedule for you to do work yourself, not time where you are reacting to somebody else's need by being in a meeting, but the time that you need to prepare for that speech next week or the time you need to read those DISC reports that you just ran off for a new client or the time you need to study client notes or to prepare a proposal for a new engagement. When do you do those things? Now, what most of us do is we do them when we find time, which is totally wrong because we're treating those things as if they weren't important. So what I started a number of years ago is I look at my two-week window calendar and I figure out what things do I need to be working on, not that are necessarily due, but that are due at some point, but I've got to put in 2 hours or 3 hours or 4 hours to get ready. And then I figure when I'm going to work on those things, and I schedule appointments with myself on the calendar so that I know that the radio show is on Thursdays at 4 o'clock to 5. But if you look at my calendar, you will see from 3 to 4, I've got time scheduled with me. That's my time to mentally get ready for the radio show, to sort of mind dump all the things that have been going on before the show. If I have a guest, to refresh my memory and my notes as to what the guest and I are going to talk about, to review the last shows, to get the postings ready for the next show. That's my pre-radio show time. So I don't show up at my desk or all of a sudden ready to do the radio show 5 minutes before we go on air with no real mental prep time. Now, let me tell you one of the secret advantages of scheduling time with yourself to do these things. When someone calls me and says, Doug, can you meet with me tomorrow at 3 o'clock? I look at my calendar, I go, you know, I'd love to meet with you tomorrow at 3 o'clock, but I have another appointment. Can we set another time? And sure, we always end up picking another time. What I don't tell that person is that 3 o'clock appointment was with myself, because it would sound silly. But yet, if I don't do the work that I need to do, I'm going to end up doing that work on Saturday or Sunday because I went and met with the client. So why should my work always take second place? It's just as important as an appointment. So here's the idea. It's very simple. Think about the prep work that you have to do for everything. Put it down in blocks. Schedule it on your calendar. And try to hold those times sacred so you can get the work done. Now, the cool thing with electronic calendars is things will come up and I'll agree that, hey, the guy that just called me, yes, tomorrow at 3 o'clock, it's kind of urgent and I really do need to make time to meet with that client. They have a time-sensitive issue. But I don't delete that appointment with myself off of the calendar. Instead, I have to move it to another day at another time, which forces me, as I'm scheduling the new one, to think about when I'm really going to do this other work and figure it out before I get off the phone and get overcommitted. Productivity? Absolutely. To me, that has made a world of difference in terms of taking prep work away from evenings and weekends and putting it into the workday where it really belongs. Well, the last app that I want to share with you is called MindJet Manager, and that's what I was talking about when I say I keep two calendars. This is a mind mapping program that allows you to create flowcharts of almost anything, and I use it to keep that two-week calendar window that on my desktop of what's going on, and it really shows the preparation time that I have to put in to get things ready. So that I'm not just focused on due dates. I have thought about, as soon as I record a due date for something, I have to think about how much time is it going to take to get ready, and then I record the appointments with myself to do the get ready kind of work. You know, I'm in love with my iPad. You know, Valentine's Day, I should give my iPad a gift. It's replaced my need for a laptop. It goes with me everywhere. You know, I know that my phone does a lot of the same things, but frankly, it's just easier to read and make changes on the bigger screen. But there's a few things that really kind of became a challenge with the iPad. The first one was doing presentations, not necessarily presentations where I'm projecting it up on the screen, although that could be the case, but where I'm sitting down with a client one-on-one and we're trying to look at the iPad and I'm trying to show them a presentation that I did either in PowerPoint or in Keynote. The issue with the iPad is because of the smaller screen and because of the conversion of PowerPoints to Keynote format, sometimes the graphics don't look the way they did on your desktop. The fonts may be missing, the graphics may get changed, the size of the screen alone may cause things to get squished up where you can't read them. And then, of course, there's the fact that, you know, my fat fingers sometimes just seem to all of a sudden magically go from page 2 to page 22, and then I've got to work my way back, and it looks all kind of clumsy with the client. So the workaround solution that I have for this that allows me to take my presentations and work with them on the iPad without any problem is I create from my desktop using the Keynote or the PowerPoint file, I create a PDF file, which I then move to the iPad. And once it's moved to the iPad, I can use the Book app to find the PDF file. And, of course, the PDF file will look exactly like it did in the original document. I don't lose any of the graphics. I don't lose any of the fonts. Nothing gets squished up because it's smaller. And it's much easier to move from screen to screen than it is in the Keynote program that really thinks you may be editing because, of course, you can't edit the PDF file. So this has been a great way for me to make sure that my PowerPoints, my Keynote presentations are, I have the ability to show them seamlessly without any corrections. Now, I mentioned the Book app. Hopefully, you know that in the Book app in the iPads that you have the ability to create different kinds of what they call collections so that you can store documents in different areas on the Book app. What I do is I use one for fiction books that I'm reading, one for business books. I have a different collection area for each major client where I can store all kinds of PDF documents that I have been working with them. I can store their coaching notes. I can store their disc reports. Anything that they've sent me that I think I may need on the fly, I can convert to a PDF and store it in that area. One of the things I found is I do a lot of reading on my iPad, and I found that the book collection was getting so large that what I did, I created another sub-collection where once I've read a book, I move the book into that sub-collection. So again, the Book app can be very, very powerful tool. Think of it for PDFs, not just for books that you're looking to read, but think of it as a place to store documents in PDF. And finally, recently I have been trying to wean myself away from those monthly magazines that I have to read that come in the mail, along with the Wall Street Journal daily, and I've gone to online subscriptions. The only trick there is that when I have a subscription, I need to remember that when I'm at home, that's the best time to download that month's magazine or to download that day's Wall Street Journal before I leave and go out on the road where I may not have a good Wi-Fi connection. This allows me to read those magazines or read the journal while I'm sitting in somebody else's waiting room and don't have access to their Wi-Fi. So I've already pre-downloaded it. It really works very, very effectively for me. Well, you know, that's it. Not exactly rocket science, but there are lots of electronic apps that can make your work easier, make your life easier, make your work more productive. Think about these things from a coaching point of view that talk to your clients. What's the favorite app that they use? What is the issue that they're trying to solve with that app? And is there something behind it that needs some attention more than just some electronic massaging? Well, look, it's been great talking with you today. I've enjoyed it. I've looked forward to talking to you next Thursday. Be sure to tune in again. We're live every Thursday at 4 p.m. right here on OCTalkRadio.net. Look for our weekly newsletter. It comes out Wednesday night or Thursday morning, depending where you are. It can give you the information on our guests. So this is Doug Gefeller signing off. I hope you've enjoyed the show today and that the discussion has provided you with new ideas and information that you can use to identify and achieve your goals.
You've been listening to the only show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with your host, Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.